said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
All right, we are back. This is Sportsaholics episode number 109. And guess who's here? Eric's back. He made it back from Rio. Eric, how are you doing, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Sportsaholics Rio 2016 edition, episode 109. Back from Rio, it is your good friend, Eric Marino. Wow. Hi, she's good to be back in America. And let me tell you, first of all, how glad I am to be in America, because Coca-Cola in Rio tastes terrible.
Different?
And I was so happy to get back. And the first thing I'm going to say about the whole thing, I happen to land in Atlanta, Georgia, which some of you know is the home of Coca-Cola. And right there in the L.A. airport, I finally got all my American taste buds put right as far as Coca-Cola came down. I flew down on Korean Air. After everything, you know,
Korean. How does that happen?
All right, there's a lot to say. She's. How do you want it?
Well, first of all, how do you get on a Korean Air flight from Atlanta down to Brazil?
Well, that's not what happened. What happened was, so I'm going to fly from LA to Atlanta to Rio de Janeiro on Delta. Okay, that's what's being happened. I'm being flown because Leslie Jones has tweeted about the Olympics. NBC has offered her and her writer, me, and her stylist, Brian, are all traveling first class down to Rio. Now, Leslie and Brian are coming from New York. I'm coming from L.A. The nice, great Olympic NBC travel staff, they put me on a flight Wednesday at noon. Wednesday at noon to go through Atlanta, L.A. to Atlanta, then Atlanta to Rio, and you basically land, like you leave here at noon, and I would be landing in Rio time, which is 4 hours ahead of L.A. time and an hour ahead of Eastern time. you would land about 8:30 in the morning.
Okay.
What happened was, I don't know if you, just a couple weeks, some of you might remember, there was a Delta had a weird power outage in their hub of Atlanta.
That's right. I remember.
That happened like on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of the week that I was traveling, and I was traveling on Wednesday. So my flight was delayed enough that I would miss the connection to Rio. And so then the amazing people at Delta put me on a Korean Air flight. I went on Korean Air first class to Sao Paulo. But I also went back, like, instead of leaving at, like, noon, you left it, like, 4 hours later, which is all fine. I was in the first class lounge, and I paid all my bills, and I called the Lost and Found in McCarran Airport in Las Vegas and got and found... in the lost and found, my carry-on and all my luggage that I lost when I did the Las Vegas gig opening for Leslie Jones at the Mirage.
Like 3 weeks ago? All that stuff turned up for you?
Yeah. I arrived the day. That came the day that I arrived back home from Rio. So the Captain America hoodie, although was sorely missed at the Olympics in Rio, has been returned. And so we have the Captain America hoodie back, which is great.
So as your layover's happening, you then discover, hey, my old luggage was found. So that's kind of like a bonus, you know, even though you're delayed an additional
bonus. And I was like, it was one of those things, like, I took the time, like, I wasn't traveling like the usual sheep and cattle that we are when we get hurdled into the masses and we're crouching down to charge our phones like savages. I'm sitting in this, like, basically there's classical music playing and the Olympics are on. And there's, like, free beverages and beers, and everything's just rosy in the first-class lounge. And I sit there, and I'm like, why don't I also, like, you know, I have enough money in the bank. Let me just pay all my light utilities. Let's pay all the bills. before I go to Rio.
This is a good. This is also
a single thing
for those of you.
Rio, but also I knew would know it would like cut down how much money I would have in Rio, if that makes sense. But I would know how much real money I had to spend in Rio.
No. This is a great. I love using this same tactic when going to Las Vegas. You can never be. You're never better off than just paying everything before you go. That way, it's taken care of. And you don't have to stress if you have a bad trip to Vegas, everything's still okay.
Right. So it was like, I have to tell you that I had an amazing trip that I no longer have that nagging feeling. It's like I would get up and I would do stuff and I don't feel like like when you're lazy or procrastinating, like it sort of changed. It's really, let me tell you guys, if you ever get the chance to go to the Olympics, especially if NBC is willing to pay for you to go first class and then stay at basically, Caesar, where I stayed was this hotel. It's called the Palace Copacabana, which Copacabana is the beach in Rio, people. Like, it's not just the song and a nightclub name. I mean, the reason they have a nightclub is because it's named after how amazing this fucking area of Rio called the beachfront called the Copacabana is. And man, it is awesome. And this hotel, this isn't a 5-star, this is like an 11-star hotel.
And what's,
I mean, this is the place where
what city is this?
Just coming, I'm telling you, the maids just don't come in. It's like, okay, my room is so nice that I don't just have like a tub and a separate shower, rainfall shower that also has nozzles, and you have some sort of bidet hose next to the toilet. So I took a bath a couple times because I'm really being decadent in Rio, and I'm taking a bath and soaking, and then it's like I have one of the Game of Thrones books. The second or third day I'm there, all of a sudden I realize, not only have they, by the way, they take all your toiletries and sort of basically alphabetize them and file them nicely around. Like, they don't just leave your shit where you left it. Like, they pick up. And then it was like, I noticed that my book that's on the side of the tub is like squared to the tub. And also, they just added a bookmark from the hotel, like just gratis.
Oh, yeah, this is nice. I'm looking at it online. This is
it's phenomenal, and it's right across from the beach, and it's like a half a block from where the beach volleyball tournament is now, stadium is. Wow. Now, what I'm given, she's when I land, I'm met by a small little group of NBC, and I'm met by this great guy, Stan, and he has two lovely Rio volunteers who are Brazilian, and they lead me to this NBC. I'm given this laminate credential. And basically, I'm told this laminate with my name in my picture, which I wasn't allowed to smile or have any facial expression on, so it's not a good picture. But it's worth it because this is an NBC all-access pass, which means I can go to any Olympic venue, and they have to let me in, and they have to let me go, and I'm at least allowed to be, like, in the press area, okay? Basically, I'm allowed to go almost anywhere I want except, like, what's called, like, the Olympic family, which is, like, the actual competitors or, like, real big wheels.
What kind of
family that are actually members of the family of the athletes.
What does that feel like? I mean, you're almost getting, like, a skull and crossbones type access, to the Olympics that very few people actually have.
Well, I wouldn't say that. It's not skull and crossbones. I mean, it's not skull and bones. It's not that. You don't feel like you're the Illuminati. What you do feel is like, it's like having an all-access backstage pass to Woodstock or, Coachella. Like, in 2004, I went to Coachella. The girl who at that point I would date and become my girlfriend for a couple of years took me to Coachella, and she had access backstage, and we had access to backstage, and it was Radiohead and the Pixies, and I took Ecstasy, and it was a great fucking time. But I've never gone back to Coachella again because unless I have that access, I don't want to just stand in the field in the heat of the polo grounds in Coachella and watch all the bands.
Well, plus,
it's like you want to have, I don't know if I could go to Tokyo 2020. And I'm sorry to sound like a snob, but I swear, I think anyone who went what I just had could go, like, I don't know if I'd go to the Olympics just to go to a single event or stand in line or do it without this amazing access. Is just, it's unprecedented. It was it's an item on my bucket list that I did not know it was on my bucket list because you wouldn't dream this. What happened doesn't, it's like, you're saying a comedian tweeted and so three people got to not just go to Rio, but see the Olympics in Rio.
Well, it was
like,
fun.
I thought these
Like she was, you know, voted, you know, best celebrity down there. I saw that, and just some of the videos with her, and you know.
But that's also, we were like kind of the only celebrities down there. It was like us. I mean, it was Leslie. I shouldn't say us. It was like
Zac Efron,
Leslie Jones, and Matthew McConaughey. I guess Zac Efron was flying down towards when we were leaving. You know, a lot of people I think stayed away because of the Zika and all the bad press. And there's also a point where I got to tell you. I'll get to this point right now. Having experienced it, I was there, people. Everyone who listens to my voice, you're listening to the voice of a person who spent 6 days in Rio de Janeiro during the Olympics and went to a lot of stuff. I'll get into everything I saw in a second. But there's a certain point, and I'm a conspiracy buff, as some of you know. I would have to tell you that there's a point where the people of Rio de Janeiro and the powers that be had to tell you not to come to Rio because it's scary. Because if they told you everything was great in Rio, 10 million more people would have been there. And I'm telling you, having been to Rio, I've never been to any place like Rio. And I mean, I've never been anywhere. I've only been to Canada and Mexico. So, you know, I'm a rookie passport member, if that makes sense.
You're young and travel.
But Rio de Janeiro is a city in which feels like the fire marshal is already itching to shut down the whole town. The place is overstuffed. I mean, there are neighborhoods like, there are, guys, just look up neighborhoods in Rio de Janeiro. See how they're stacked on top of each other on the hillside. And we'll get pictures and we'll put stuff up. Because we're going to make sure that I have a ton of pictures. So we'll get into everything I saw then. So now I have all access. The great people at NBC, one of the vice presidents of talent and news, Prince El Pair, this man, gentleman, he was the guy that moved Leslie through everybody and got us everywhere and got us tickets to events. And, you know, it's like, we couldn't have been in better hands, truly amazing. And he's a guy that works for, he also works for the NBC football Night in America. You know,
okay.
They're having Thursday and Sunday night games. So
it sounds like he's got the best job in the world.
So here's what happens: we now have these all access passes. We're also given this little card that we're basically told that. Leslie doesn't need this because you know she's the talent, and so NBC will send a car and send her anywhere she wants. But for me, I'm given a little, basically a subway card. That's good for, it's free for any subway or bus in Rio. So you basically can go anywhere and you can go to any, it's like you can use this to go to any Olympic venue and then they have to let you in.
No matter.
Right?
Okay.
The only exceptions is for, you would need a wristband to say, see Usain Bolt's 100 meters, which I had, or you'd need a wristband to see like USA basketball versus France, but I had a ticket, so I saw that. And there was something else, I think it was one of the swimming events, and I think we were given wristbands for that too. All right, now, saying all that, Cheezer, do you have any questions? Because then we're going to get into what I actually saw.
Okay, yes, I do. First of all, true or false, was there an Olympic lane on the highway? I thought I saw some footage of standstill.
There is an Olympic lane on the highway. It is absolutely true. It has a little green line. Great question. That showed up the very first night, and we reacted to it. And then we thought maybe they didn't have an Olympic lane on the way back. Like, they cared about you getting to, but not from, but that was not true. They do have it in both directions, if that makes sense. What's interesting about, so we were staying on the beach at the Copacabana, and we were staying basically where the talent, it was like, it was an hour away from Olympic Park and Olympic Village. We were at the scenic beach. But Al Michaels was staying in our hotel, I think. Well, I saw him at least twice, and he was having breakfast once, so I believe he was staying there. Mike Tirico and Dan Patrick were there. I got to talk to both of them.
Nice.
Ryan Seacrest, I know, was there, but then we were basically told he was taking a few days in another hotel, which it just seemed so Ryan Seacresty that I just love that he was like going to a hotel. He was taking a vacation from a hotel at another hotel nearby.
He was vacationing from the vacation?
Yeah. And I just thought that just seems like, wow, only Seacrest could really, like, Seacrest out of this hotel to another hotel. It's just great.
He's like, I'm getting too much heat here. I'm getting too much heat.
So, what I'm trying to tell you is the city of Rio is, you see, of course, these gigantic mountains, right? When you know,
Rio, it's got the statue, it's got the mountains, it's got the slums in the mountains.
Here's the thing, the mountains are kind of in the middle of the city. And so there's like, it's like you can either go this way around the mountain or you can go that way around the mountain, but you can't go over the mountain and you can't go through the mountain. So it's like you can go left around the mountain, you can go right around the mountain, but one takes, 45 minutes and one takes an hour and 15 minutes. But if there's traffic or something shut down, you're going to have to go the other way. It is, there's no quick way to get to the other side of Rio, if that's what I'm saying.
Yep. That's so in a Hollywood term, it's like if the Hollywood Hills were just a larger mountain and then you were trying to get to the
it's very similar to that. It's like it is sort of saying you're the difference between L.A. and the valley, and you have to go through the hills and the canyons. Yes, it is, but except there are not any canyon roads. It's like you'd have to go all the way around.
Okay.
Like there's only two passes.
Now, traffic aside, were you ever, fearful, worried about any incident or being at a stoplight too long at night or anything like that? Or did you ever hear gunshots?
Especially at night, being at the Olympics. Look, I wasn't necessarily in Rio de Janeiro. What I was I was at the Olympics at Rio de Janeiro, which is sort of like being at Disneyland in Rio de Janeiro. And what I mean by that is, you know that there's crime and pickpockets in Disneyland. It's not like there isn't crime in Disneyland or people must steal things from other people. But it's like, I think for at least this 2-week period, that it's like, everything I read, because I was a little bit nervous and skittish. Like, I think I had a healthy, excited worry about pickpockets, about crime, about, being a tourist,
And for good reason.
Right. But the other thing is, it's like, so, for example, there's footage of me next to Leslie, and I'm from the first night at the swimming event, and you can see that I'm actually looking really dour. I'm wearing, a usual black button-down shirt for me and a black t-shirt underneath, which, as many of you who know me in person, is often what I'm going on stage at or what I walk around in. But I was just trying to play, background, subtle. I'm not trying to be USA American guy. But Leslie and Brian, of course, are in full USA red, white, and blue. I mean, they basically have fireworks on their clothes. It's crazy. And so you realize that in the Olympics, it's okay. It's like everyone's wearing the French people are wearing capes as flags, and the Brazilian people are wearing capes. Everyone's wearing their flags as capes. That's what I'm saying. Everyone.
So it's like,
they're just like three dudes crossing the street, and they're all like in tuxedo tails, but they're made out of Union Jacks. And there are these
Lucha Libre masks.
That all, like, you just see them, and I know they're all from the Netherlands because there's five dudes, and they're all walking in these orange, these Netherland orange blazers. It's like, these are the kind of things that you realize, like, it's like everything about, like, hey, don't look like a tourist, don't look like an American.
Does not apply.
180 degrees different in the Olympics. Now, that being said, I kept my eye very conscious of what's that little kid doing? What's that old person doing? Like, I was a little bit hawkish, or, like, I wasn't trying to get taken for a ride. I was one of those people that, it's like NBC gave us these unbelievably sweet backpacks that when you go to this Olympic event, going to the Olympics, in some ways, like, going to the Olympics is like going to Disneyland or going to the beach. Like, you should bring a backpack that has two bottles of water for the getting there, and then some sunscreen, and of course you need the deep woods off because of the Zika mosquitoes, even though they weren't really, it wasn't the problem that everyone thinks because it's winter down there.
Yeah.
And the sun's setting at like 5:30, which kind of is weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
So we did, now going back to the original point, we did take that Olympic lane the very first day we were there. It was very cool. You see these weird exceptions they're making, and obviously, so we get to the first venue, which is the all-around female gymnastics. So the very first picture I really have is of the gold medalist, Simone, on the balance beam. And it's the kind of event where, Leslie met Nadia Comaneci, and you're leaving the venue, you're like, isn't that Bart Connors? But I can also tell you, like, when they say, hey, Brazil didn't have enough time to finish everything, like, the very first place we walk in, we're putting to we were being put into what in any other stadium would be the luxury suite.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like this, this would be one of those suites that you'd see at the Staples Center that, you know, is midway up the, you know, it's halfway up the arena, right?
Comfortable.
You know what I mean? If you're not courtside, you're not in that loge area or whatever that is.
Is there food? Did they have food there?
You're in that ring of owners' booths or booths that, you know, like the corporate boxes.
Was there
typically would be nice, but here, as soon as you walk into what would be normally that you would recognize as a corporate box, the place is completely just drywall, and like the electric sockets aren't, while they're there,
right,
or some of them are there, they're not like, you know, the covers aren't in place.
Yep.
You can still see there's rough drywall everywhere. Certain things are done more in scaffolding, like in major, you know, like industrial, like, you know, army. It's like, you know, like how armies build temporary bridges.
Yes.
There's a couple things that are kind of like they're going to last, but they're also temporary.
It's patchwork. It's patchwork. Right. It's like this will last for 3 months, and that's all we need, really.
Right. Right. Because also, when you see Olympic Park, you're talking about. There's something like, I mean, Olympic Park, let me see. There is the diving and water polo synchronized swimming. You know, there are two swimming arenas, okay, that are actually across the park from each other.
And that was...
There's a center court tennis stadium plus a whole bunch of side courts, you know what I mean, like Wimbledon. So there's an entire, so basically you have Wimbledon and a swim center. And then you have and then you have three connected basketball arenas. Basically, it's like there's this one building that is basically three stadiums. That it's like in this one we have judo and fencing.
Okay.
And then this one we have basketball, and in this one we have the gymnastics. And then the gymnastics have their own building. And then there's the cycling velodrome, which is an amazing thing to be in person.
Now, is that the short track bicycle race? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, how fast is that in person?
I got to see a world record. I got to see a team from Great Britain set the world record in team pursuit. Because I'll do a little bit out of order. On the second day, I can't even do it out of order. Like I said, we went and we saw Simone and Allie win gold and silver. That was the first thing we did.
Now, can I address something with you real quick on the Simone Biles cut? No one really brought up the fact that she's 4'9", and so that, I mean, legally, isn't that not a little person?
Oh, she could be one of the most successful little people of all time. I mean, that probably is. I mean, I think that she is allowed to be like a center in little person basketball. I think that is true. Sure.
I saw pictures of her and it was just almost surprising. You know, it's like, you look at like how small.
I have met her. So I met her in person. We got to meet her. Leslie got to meet Bella Caroli, the
coach, right?
Unbelievable. The man who coached Nadia Comaneci and Mary Lou Retton, the man who held Carrie Strug after she hurt her ankle. You know, he is an icon in the world of coaching, not just her gymnastic coaching, but like Pat Summitt, like Lombardi, like Belichick. These are the guys that push just the art form of coaching. These are legends of coaching. And Bella Caroli, I just couldn't be more likable. He's everything you want in that lovable uncle, grandpa, great uncle thing.
Does he still have the mustache?
Stories, watch Leslie do a cartwheel. And guys, by the way, if you haven't watched, please go and watch Leslie's. Go follow Leslie Dog at Les Dog on Twitter.
Yeah, a lot of those are on
all her Olympic coverage, and she has videos, and it's. I mean, no one's more USA slay all day. It's an amazing journey. If you guys want to go on my Facebook to see pictures, and then we'll put more on. We'll put more on the sports hours. I'm going to send everything to you, and you'll figure out how to put it out there. It's crazy. My phone got overwhelmed. I'm still trying to do triage on treating. Like right now, my phone is trying to finally. I never had any apps. I'm trying to get things online to the G drive. It's crazy.
You're working it out. You're working. I already tweeted out a link to the hotel you stayed at. So listeners, if you want to check that out. Go ahead and just.
And by the way, if you can afford it, you should. I mean, that is, or if someone ever says, "Hey, is it worth going here?" Or someone give me a free trip. It was really, like I'm telling you, on a 5-star scale of hotels, 11, or possibly infinity.
Well, it goes for $575 a night, and so, which I'm sure was probably half the rate at the Olympics, probably $2,000 a night that week.
Right, and I'm not so sure that my room isn't like a nicer room than normal. I didn't have a suite by any means, it's worth it. It's still, and again, it's worth it. Anyway, so then you would think right there, that's sort of enough. Like you went and you just saw an Olympic event, and in some ways it would be. But then we went to the Aquatic Center, and we got to see, what's his name, Ryan Murphy, win the gold medal in the backstroke. And then, because Leslie had sort of befriended some of the swim team on Twitter, one of the members, Connor, of the swim team, came over and invited us over, and we came and we then sat with the swim team.
Okay.
And as some of you guys know, that Ryan Lochte and three other swimmers got in trouble recently.
I heard about that.
For lying about something that happened in Rio. It's interesting to note that one of the guys that pulled off the plane, Gunner, was one of the. He was very nice. I met him, and he was the guy that said that the race we're about to see is about to be the crazy one of the night. And it was like, what's that? And it was like, oh, that was the 200 meters. With Michael Phelps against Ryan Lochte, and then the Australian, and it's like this is the thing of the night. This was Phelps going for gold medal number 22, which he won. And now I'm leaning over the railing, and I have about 6 shots of him about 8 feet away, where you can see the suction marks of the cupping thing.
The
you
know cupping.
There were those. Right.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Matthew McConaughey was right there, and Leslie and Matthew got to talk a little bit. And we also, one of the big highlights was that one of the really amazing, we got taken to where NBC, there's another gigantic building called the IBC, the International Broadcasting Center. And this is where NBC and TV, everyone who's there, and BBC and everyone from around the world. I mean, it's this massive building all on its own. There's a thing called the Satellite Farm, which is just what you think it is. It's a giant space where there's just a ton of satellite dishes. They're uploading all the images around the world of these games and from everywhere.
So is it a one-stop shop for promotion? You just knock out like 20 interviews in one, you know, it's kind of like when you go to
it's not even like, you know what I'm saying? This isn't like, these aren't like studios. So, I mean,
it's strictly the production
building of warehouse space where it's like all of NBC's production. There's a cafeteria. There's a cafeteria, there's all the production offices, there's Bob Costas's set, there's all these green rooms. That night we meet Bella Caroli, Ali and Simone, we meet Sean White, the snowboarder and skateboarder, and Sean White couldn't be nicer, but who the first person we met, in the world of celebrities and personalities, was sportscaster, tennis player, Mary Carrillo.
Okay.
If you guys don't know who Mary Carrillo is, you know, do yourself a favor. She is a great reporter, great sportscaster, and an all-time great person. And it was one of those things. Like one of the things that I was there to do was, it's like Leslie has a great instinct for people, so it was like sort of see who you think would be fun to sort of do things with. Now she took so immediately. To Mary Carrillo, I made the suggestion that whenever there's time, we should, we should get a camera crew to follow Leslie and Mary and go around to sort of the lesser-known Olympic sports, a Olympic Island of Misfit sports, if you will.
Okay,
you
know what I mean? I like it. Yeah. Right. I mean,
it's
just spotlight some of them.
So. We ended up, there were a lot of interesting ones on the table where we ended up seeing, so this is now day two. So day two of the Olympics in Rio 2016, we get picked up, and originally we were going to go to fencing, but it ends early as we're en route. So we go to trampoline, And this is where Mary and Leslie are now on camera, and they are enjoying themselves and really funny. It's like Mary is this amazing, she has this ability to give Leslie all the information she needs. And you're talking about a lot of weird, strange maneuvers. Like anything, you watch these sports. And so we end up seeing trampoline, judo, and velodrome the first day.
Now, what's velodrome?
And then velodrome is the cycling.
That's right.
So, but with, especially with judo and trampolining, there's a lot of like they give you there's little information points. You know, our producer, you know, the VP of talent, Princel, was nice enough to give us these amazing bullet points that would let you know at a glance the big names to watch in each event. Here are the names of the moves, whether they be judo moves or you know these are the you know, this twist is this twist and double whatever is a blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And Mary, being an Emmy-winning sportscaster, is perfect at being a sort of friendly, straight man comrade, feeding Leslie weird pieces of information about each sport and then letting Leslie react and then enjoying and reacting to her reaction, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, they played
so
off each other really well.
A great friendship was born like between the two of them. Very, very likable, and one of those things where Leslie kept talking about how, like, you know, they just have to create a sports show together, and it would be an amazing experience. So Mary Carrillo, wow. And I'll say this. An amazing woman, and the last thing she said is we were getting in a bus the last time. We worked with her twice. I actually bumped into her a lot, and she's just a really lovely person. You know, one of those, like, as soon as you meet her, you're like, wow, that's one of the coolest people you could meet. And the last thing we did, we went to Olympic ping pong, Olympic table tennis, and Leslie and Mary played some Olympic ping pong against each other and had a lot of fun. And as we were saying our goodbyes, the last thing Mary said to us as she's sliding the van door shut is she said, "Kiss the ones that count." And I just thought that's a lovely little sentiment. So I'm passing it on to everybody out there. You kiss the ones that count.
Kiss the ones that count.
So Mary Carrillo, we give you a big sportsaholics round of applause. Give it up for Mary Carrillo.
Nice.
Okay.
Well,
that was like what?
Oh no, I was just saying let's take a quick break and then we'll be back and then. I got some more specific questions about the events. And
perfect. That's how we'll play the game for the rest half. Tune in for Rio 2016 when we get back.
Phelps, this for you, babe.
The business.
I'm going for the goal. My heart is in control. My mind is on succeed. And I am in the lead. Don't buy into the schemes. The science on strategy. Just giant in UT's brings triumph and belief. I'm relying on redeem. Inspired by the green. Never tired or fatigue. Never defiant to my team. Never lying on a thing until I'm lying on a thing.
All right, so what would you say? What was your favorite event that surprised you the most? Was it the cycling, the like in the indoor ice hockey rink kind of arena?
Well, that velodrome, I'll tell you, the velodrome is interesting in itself because I've always wanted to see it. It's one of the more oddball Olympic events. I mean, atypical. You know, like you don't see it. Like handball, there are certain things you don't see as normal sports. For example, table tennis, another one of the things that I saw. But it's like when you go into, I always wanted to see the velodrome. I always thought the bicycles were cool and stuff. But when you actually go into a real velodrome, which I'd never been in, it's like watching, it's like going into a roller rink that's gone through some sort of Mobius loop. And the fans, I mean, the people that are fans of this, I mean, this wasn't just, let me say this. You really felt like the people who were there really cared about the sport and the sports itself. They weren't just people who got tickets to an Olympic event and went. You know
okay.
what I mean? Like, oh, we just got to this. But now remember, what I've been given is I've been given an all-access pass. Oh, and I told you this. I've been given an NBC all-access pass. It allows me to go to any – I'm allowed to go to any Olympic venue, and they have to let me in and at least into the press area. Now, again, unless there are certain events like Usain Bolt or USA Basketball, I usually had the right wristband.
Had the right, yeah, okay.
See those things. Now – so, and then I'm also given this, hey, you can get a card that says you can go through the subway. And so day three for me is the day that, you know, we don't have to. I don't have to do anything with Leslie. We don't. Leslie is not doing any Olympic events till six because the, 6 o'clock at night we're going to go see. We were going to go to track and field. The first night of one of the first nights of track and field, the first night for us, we'd go two nights, and then we were going to go to the beach volleyball because the beach volleyball doesn't start till 11 because they want Kerry Walsh and April Ross have to play at midnight because midnight in Brazil means 11 o'clock in NBC. And NBC wanted to put Kerry Walsh on at 11 o'clock at night.
Which is 8 p.m.
Regular.
Which, yeah.
And that's 8 p.m. to the east to the West Coast.
West Coast,
right?
Yeah.
This is prime time, right? And we got to meet. So for day three, I get basically what I end up doing is I take a bunch of wrong turns. But I use the subway. There's an amazing, neat picture I have of, you know, that silver bar that you hold on to in a subway. Well, for the Rio Games, they put these things on them that look like barbell weights. So they look like, you know, like a weightlifter's.
Okay, that's cute. Nice.
There were neat little touches like that. And Rio is this amazing, interesting architectural city that you can tell you're not in America. It's like, it's a city that's like, it's a futuristic city, but made in the past. Like, it's a city for the 21st century, but it was, like, made in 1939. There's some amazing, it's a beautiful, interesting town, and a little intimidating and scary. There's some real tough living conditions, and this is me being super kind. The way you really had to go in through some of the toughest neighborhoods, the barrios, is where the track and field were. And, you know,
really?
That's a real interesting, you know, you're seeing so much wealth and accomplishment or glitterati, if you will. I mean, being at a Usain Bolt, hearing the entire crowd, there's almost in this track and field, there's almost like a Kentucky Derby where it's like it's something that's transcending. They're more than human. And almost like it's about thoroughbred and pedigree. And I'm not saying animal in this sense, but it's something else. It's about this race mentality. It was really something to see and to be in the crowd for.
The case of Jamaica, it's tradition. And now, you know, they've just set the new standard for just dominance in track and field. And America's not far behind, but they're not gold.
No, I mean like how the whole thing is. It's just the buzz in the crowd and how they talk about the athletes. It's something different than you think.
You're like it's closer to Hunger Games than a track meet.
Well, I'm not going to say because it is a track meet, but it is closer to Hunger Games than it even is to like an NFL game or Major League Baseball. It's like this isn't like seeing Big Poppy even seeing Big Poppy do amazing things. This is somewhat different because you know why? Because these athletes are the absolute peak of athletic fitness. That's what it is. In other words, it's like you don't know that Tom Brady or David Ortiz or you know fill in your favorite football player, baseball player, and even basketball player. You don't know for certain that Michael Jordan was actually at the apex of his athletic conditioning. He's in great shape, I grant you. But there's something about.
That's a pretty safe bet to say.
No, because Usain Bolt, there is no question. He is as fit as it's humanly possible to be. You are actually seeing the fastest man alive. There is no one faster. So you know that he is absolutely. I saw Michael Phelps. There is no one better. I saw Simone. These were historic. These were historic Olympics for these people, and there is no doubt that these people are at the absolute zenith. I'm saying basketball is still a team sport. You can be lazy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I got you. Now, you were there. You were on the streets. You met people. Through your point of view, was it a success? Was all the hype and the robberies, all that kind of stuff, was that just something the media to feed on? Or was that
that's come out of this is the Ryan Lochte and the swimmers lying about what happened. Now, if you think about that, the biggest crime, the biggest crime being reported was actually perpetrated by the Olympians and not on the Olympians.
Well, like, I mean, there were a couple robberies, and like there was a couple of the weird stories, you know, about the kayaker getting stuck on a couch, and you know, a couple legs and arms washing up on the beach, and then the feces and the water. I mean, and then the Olympic pool water, the algae going green.
I have a great picture of. I have a picture of that from that venue. I walked in. I think probably day four for me, and I got to see synchronized swimming for a beat. And take. I have a great picture because what they had to do is both. There's two pools in this venue. One for the divers, and one I think they use for the water polo and the synchronized swimming. And don't quote me that I don't know which pool they actually do the water polo in, so I could be wrong on that.
Okay.
But the hilarious thing is the water turns murky and green because the water is so murky and synchronized swimmers have to see each other underwater to be able to do what they do. They ended up draining one pool where the synchronized swimmers would perform and using this backup pool's water. But they left the diving pool, which I think was, I don't think it had anything to do, at least for the next couple of days. It may have maybe been dead, you know, it doesn't necessarily, maybe what I'm saying, dormant, not needed. And they were letting that, like, sort of heal chemically. So I have this great picture of the, it's a murky blue, not green when I get to it.
But I don't know. Look, pools are very touchy, you know, and, you know, especially I'm sure in the wintertime, the temperature's probably all over the place down there. And then
it was really well. There's some great torrential rain. I'll tell you this, guys, especially everyone listening to this in L.A., the palm tree game that Rio has, because they have actual coconuts. And, man, I was walking on the street one night and a bunch of coconuts fell. Man, I drank coconut juice right from a coconut, man. I had a sort of a transcendent experiences on a lot of levels while in Rio 2016. It was an amazing event. One of the things I wanted to tell you, Cheese, was, so on the day that I'm alone and I'm wandering, my very first time to the Olympic Park on my own without this escort, you know, without getting this sort of door-to-door limo service, which is great, and I loved it, and who wouldn't? But this was sort of the on your own, let's see if you can make it.
Go explore, yeah.
But I was, at the end, honestly, it's like I'm still on the shallow end. And everything they say about Rio, like I said, for the Olympics, it's okay to be just everyone's dressed like Australians or whatever. So I go to the IBC, you know, the network, I mean, where everybody is, I mean, all the networks. And then I release myself into the park, which wasn't as easy as you think because there wasn't really a quick way. But when I finally get there, the closest thing to the IBC is the tennis court, the tennis arena.
Okay.
And
are you talking like 8 courts, 16 courts? Or
this is the center court. Like this is the one. Like this is a 1-court arena.
Okay.
Like center court at Wimbledon, and then they have outlying courts. You know, like if you have the picture from the blimp, you're going to see an arena, 1 court, and then you're going to see other courts in the background, like you would at Wimbledon.
Okay.
But I basically, like, you know, I take a couple other words. I also have to, like, I bump into a couple, like, you know, security guards, like, no, that pass go this way, the pass go this way. And I go up a thing. And then, Cheater, have you ever been to a tennis tournament at all, like a major tennis tournament?
I have not. I've not been to a major tennis tournament.
Okay, well, here's something that I would have never even guessed until I went to an actual major tennis event, is that unlike, say, basketball or football or any, you know, or the track and field that I went to, or the swimming or the gymnastics, where it's like, basically, as an audience member, you're free to get up and go get popcorn and go to the bathroom and go get beers and sodas. There's a general milling about at all times at any one of these stadiums. This is not what happens in tennis. Tennis doesn't have, like, so I, when I get up, you're walking just like any other stadium or venue, and I'm going up a ramp to, like, the second or third level, and then you get into a concourse. But you see that instead of having open, like, you know, open archways into the, you know, like, into Fenway Park, into Dodger Stadium, into your seats, there are doors that are shut, if not looking like they're sealed.
just,
and there are people lined up, and basically you have to wait for a stoppage in play, I guess either the end of a point or either a game. I don't actually know which, because I just got in the line, and then the door opened, and I got to go in, and then, you know, one of the guys saw my plaque, and he said, would you like to sit here, which was like these open seats that were in the handicap area, but, you know,
I'll take those.
And I have this, all-access pass, so I end up, I end up sitting perfectly center court for Nadal versus Del Potro from Argentina. Spain versus Argentina. The crowd was electric. I'm sitting dead center court. I get to see Nadal win the first set. You know, I come in towards the end of the first set. Then I watch the whole second set where Del Potro comes raging back. And the Argentinian crowd was very rowdy, especially, I guess, for a tennis crowd. So that was an amazing adventure I had on my own. And then we went to track and field, I guess, that day, and to and we went to beach volleyball at night, I want to say.
So how many total days?
We went to beach volleyball the night before. That night we actually went, and that was the time. That was the night we were on with Ryan Seacrest on the on his late show at the Olympics with Shaun White. And Shaun White's an amazing guy who's going to try to compete in both the he's going to snowboard in South Korea in 2018.
Sochi.
And then evidently the Summer Games are going to be adding skateboarding. So Shaun White could be the first person ever to compete in both Winter and Summer Games if he ends up competing in Tokyo in 2020. And Shaun White is an amazing person. His manager is an awesome person who actually let me know where to buy the there are these great little sandals that are called Havaianas that are like the Brazilian sandal. And I'm sure pop enthusiasts know what I'm talking about. So then we saw Usain Bolt. That was track and field. I saw USA basketball. I was sitting in the French section when USA played France. It was a very tight game, and I'm sitting next to a lovely couple that was wearing, they were both wearing French flags as capes, and they had face paint, you know, little flags painted on their cheeks. And I realized that where we would normally, where we would say defense, all of a sudden, the French crowd just started going, allez-vous, which apparently, I believe, for ally meaning go, and blue as in French blue, meaning go blue or come on blue.
Okay.
That's what they tell me it means. Now, it could mean fuck you, American.
I was going to say, when they're all yelling it.
Come on blue. And they were very nice and lovely. It was also one of those things like this was now, I saw the basketball. That was day three for me. I guess that's day four for me. So now I'm really an Olympic veteran. And now this is my second day subwaying in. And I'm very confident. I know exactly where I'm going. I buzz in really great time. But also I had the previous night at the track and field, I had bought this green Brazil Olympic shirt. So it was like, I feel, that's what I'm actually wearing when I go on the subway, because I'm trying to not look too American.
Gotcha. Right? Smart like, play. Good investment.
I'm a tourist, an Olympian, but like, you might not know exactly what country or whatever. I'm not obviously red, white, and blue. But upon being next, realizing suddenly I'm going to USA basketball, and I'm watching Durant and Klay Thompson, and I get to see Carmelo Anthony and root for him once again, like I did at Syracuse. And Jimmy Boeheim, my old college coach, is there, and I got to see Coach K actually drop a play. It was great. There were some amazing things to see them all play together. So that's when you say like, what's your favorite thing? It's like I said, center court with Nadal. I saw the USA basketball dream team of 2016 play together. You know, Klay Thompson went 7 for 10 on 3-pointers, and he went three. He hit 3 and 3 in a row, and I'm perfectly in line with the basket in the hoop where I was sitting. It was,
great.
You know, being with the swim team when Michael Phelps wins 22, meeting the kid who actually is in trouble for this Ryan Lochte lying to the Brazilian police, Mary Carrillo, Leslie calling Dan, meeting Dan Patrick while we're walking around NBC, and her calling Lampley, just walking down the hall, and all of a sudden you see an older man in the hallway, and he's walking towards you, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's Al Michaels, like what you're having. You're having, it's like, it's experience after experience after experience. And then you're in Rio and you're traveling first class and you're with Leslie Jones and everyone's reacting to Leslie Jones and Kerry Wallace is giving her pins and the swim team is loving her and Matthew McConaughey is hugging her. So you're having just a transcendent experience. And I'll tell you this. So the last thing that we did the last day was we saw Olympic ping pong with Mary Curlo, and we did. And there was a little bit of like as we're driving back from Olympic Park and heading back to Copacabana. We have the night off. We have dinner ahead of us and drinks and we can do whatever we want. We have all day tomorrow to souvenir shop or do what we want and then we're going to leave and it's all at a leisurely pace. We can sleep in, do whatever we need to do. It's all great and, there's that nice bit, not bittersweet, just a nice poignancy the end of this beautiful vacation or beautiful experience winding down, the sun setting because it's like 5:30 and we get back to the hotel and I have dinner and I'm walking down and I was like, Leslie and Brian had got to explore. I was doing the Olympic stuff in those mornings and afternoons, and they were sitting on the beach and watching people and having fun and relaxing.
Yeah, taking it in.
So I was like, so now I'm gonna spend the last night. I'm gonna walk on the strand in Copacabana. I'm gonna walk down to the Olympic Mega Store, buy some souvenirs or T-shirts for friends. When all of a sudden, I'm basically I'm walking one way, and I'm just sort of I'm basically walking against the current of people, and it dawns on me it's about 10:00, 10:30 at night, and all of a sudden I realize that people are walking towards the beach volleyball venue because beach volleyball doesn't start till 11 because that's when they want to air it in New York at 10. And I realize I still have this all access lanyard around my neck. And so, after I went down to see that the Olympic Megastore, which is a great name in itself, is no longer open, it closed at 10, so I just missed it. I basically wandered my way, took my pass, went across the street from my hotel to the beach volleyball, saw my last night, my last event was actually, I saw it on my own at beach volleyball. It was very enjoyable. And then I packed it in and had a beautiful day, got all those, went to see Sandals, got a ton of swag, ton of souvenirs and
gifts. Nice.
Then took a little time, got home. I think it took me both 14-hour trips to watch all of Captain America: Civil War, but I really enjoyed it. And I'd like to thank Korean Air and Gal Air because Gal is where I had to take connection from Sao Paulo to Rio. I'd like to thank Delta. I'd like to thank NBC, Leslie Jones, of course, Brian the stylist, Jim Bell, everybody. And Purcell, Bernice, our driver, everybody who did it. I don't want to say I'm grateful. And if I've done anything, God knows I am sorry as the Portuguese say, obrigado. Obrigado, she's obrigado, which means thank you. Or brilho, brilho. But I couldn't vouch that either one of those are pronounced correctly.
That sounds legit enough. But so. How many total days? How many total days were you down there? Then five.
So we went. So I'm seeing. I'll say this. I see events. It's Thursday. We went. I guess I leave on a Wednesday, but I arrive. So it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Wow. Okay.
And then Tuesday's our last day, and we fly out. I in the back. Gotcha. I got back in LA, I think, Thursday.
Nice, nice. So almost a full solid week. Well, welcome back, man. I'm glad you made it back safe. Your Red Sox are doing, they're right in the thick of it in the playoff hunt.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been paying attention. The Royals came out of nowhere and have won, I think it's 13 out of the last 16 or 15, and somehow, have scratched and clawed their way.
I didn't get a fever text.
Oh,
I got a playoff fever text from you, Steve.
Look, it's at eight game. I mean, as we're recording this, they got the Monday off, but 8-game win streak. And, we're going on the road, which right now is tough. We got Miami 2 games. Then we go up to Boston. And so I don't. It'll be a much clearer picture once they get back to Kansas City after this road trip. But at this point, everyone's firing on all cylinders. We've got a legitimate ace in Duffy now, who I don't want to say is Kershaw, but reminds you of Kershaw when he's pitching, just in his mechanics, and you know the same kind of left-handed, real crisp fastball. But he's finally putting it together. I think he's won 10 straight starts. Ian Kennedy is a solid 2-3, but I think he's pieced together, like a 4-2 over his past 5 or 6 starts record. Ventura's kind of settling down. He's been pitching better. Alex Gordon's finally hitting. Everyone's just finally playing together as a team for the first time all season. And they've kind of they battled through a ton of injuries. And look, I wrote them off it. They had the worst record in baseball in July. No team did any worse than the Royals. And so for them to now have the best record in August, and hopefully they will at the end of the month finish with the best record. And, I can't remember anything like that happening, but the fact that they can somehow still manage to squeeze into the playoffs, I mean, it's like a 4% chance right now, but there's a chance.
You gotta believe.
And in the wild card game and in that game 4 in Houston last year, 4.7, I think, percent chance in both of those games of an actual win, which they so the 4% chance thing as a Royals fan, I'm not even worried about that. Like to me, that's like a lock. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like done it twice already, but no, it's exciting. I mean, I'm really looking at this point. I'm watching the other games and hoping that Baltimore loses and hoping Detroit loses and Seattle and no, it's great. I'm actually, just every day glued to it just to see. Because, every loss helps the Royals. So, no, it's good. We'll see how it turns out.
Exciting times.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, hey, let's get this thing wrapped up. I'm glad you made it back. And
buddy.
You got anything to say before we get out of here?
Guys, when you're in town, if you're in Los Angeles in the Sunset Boulevard area, says you're on a Sunday night between 11 and 1 p.m., except the last Sunday of every month, come to the Show Up Go Up in the belly room of the world famous Comedy Store. It's the open mic variety show run by yours truly, Eric Marino. You can follow me on Twitter at OThatMarino. I can be, you might have, check out the roast of Rob Lowe, our good friend of the show, Brian Moses, Rose Battle. We'll be hosting the red carpet interviews for the Roast of Rob Lowe on ComedyCentral.com on the digital platforms. So give that a look. And if you haven't seen Roast Battle, check out Roast Battle.
Very good. Very funny. Very funny.
And, geez, what do you got?
So you got Show Up, Go Up, three Sundays every month except for the last Sunday. And that's at the Comedy Store late night in the Belly Room, which is the hottest room in Hollywood right now. So if you're coming to L.A., come up to the Comedy Store. Eric may or may not be around, but if you're there on the Sunday, the first, second,
Sunday,
or third,
or
go
Tuesday's
up there.
Roast Battle.
Yeah, Tuesday's Roast Battle. It's good. Come into town. Come on and check out the show. I'm working on some shows back in the Midwest. I will keep you posted. As always, you can go to jonjohnishere.com to check those out. And remember, if you want to buy some really cool shirts or if you need anything printed up, for a business, a family reunion, just anything, go to onelovely.com, onelovely.com. And they got a bunch of great stuff, a bunch of like unique shirts, where they're only making 40, 50 of them. So you don't have to walk around and stare at people wearing the shirt you're wearing and have that whole weird interaction thing. But they got a bunch of great stuff. So go check them out. But hey, Eric, glad you're back. And, until next time, everybody, stay obsessed.
No, stay obsessed. Wait a minute. Oh. Over here it is. There it is.